All right, let's get into God's word this evening. Let's start out in prayer. Father, we thank you that we could be together tonight, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here safely. Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to your people. And Lord, we pray that you just bless our time together tonight as we go into your word. Father, Lord, just give me the words to say. And Lord, I pray that your word may hit hearts, Lord, this evening, and that we may all be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So tonight's, I didn't really give it a title. I just wrote up here the importance of prayer, but as I've mentioned already, that when Brother Larry Brown preached on building a hedge, and I mean, just how crucial that is that Christians, pray that the Lord puts a hedge round about our families and our pastor, our church, us. We need it. In the day in which we live, in the wickedness that is out there, I mean, it's just gotten so, you just watch things and hear about things. And I mean, we don't watch TV at the house, but, it's funny because, back in Chicago, my wife just was a news junkie, and I never watched it because I would just hear what she had to say about it. since I moved to Texas, I haven't watched TV, and because we just don't have a actual TV, we watch a few things on Anya and stuff like that. But other than that, but it's just, you just hear of things that are going on in our country and in the world, and it's just so wicked. And with that going on, we really need God's hand of special protection round about us, round about our loved ones, and of course our church. So, and we need to come before the throne daily, the throne of God daily. If you don't have a daily prayer time, I really urge you to start setting time aside each day, start out with if you don't have a regular prayer time, start out with 10 minutes. Set aside 10 minutes. Everybody can set aside 10 minutes, and then increase it, and a half hour, and then you might want to increase it then to an hour. I know sometimes it's hard to squeeze in blocks of time, but we squeeze in time for what we want to squeeze time in for, whether it's hobbies or this or that or the other. We make sure we've got time blocked for certain things. So and prayer is just so important. Our communication, our communion with our Lord is so important, and I don't think we really realize how important it is. I don't think most Christians, I don't really think, realize the power of prayer. And why is it? Probably because we don't spend enough time in prayer. Because if we were the prayer warriors we should be, or we need to be, or we must be, or have to be, then we would see God work in ways that would just boggle our minds. And that in turn would strengthen our faith. When you see God working, God's people praying and God answering and working, your faith gets strengthened. And that in turn would then make us the witnesses we need to be. When we're strong in our faith, we're going to share it with others. If our faith is weak, probably not. But when our faith is strong, we're going to be more the witnesses that God wants us to be. So, let's take our Bibles and turn over to Philippians 4:6 is going to be the main verse, but there will be a number of other verses we'll hopefully get to tonight. But Philippians 4:6, which you probably know by heart. But before we get into that, how many of you like words? And looking up meanings of words and things like that. I don't do enough of it, but when I do it, I really enjoy it. And I've got a 1820, probably this thick and about this big. It's a Webster 1828 dictionary. And so I look up some of the words that I come across in the Word of God, because, you know, the words that may have been chosen, you know, when the King James was put together, the meanings have some words, the meanings have changed. And it's so interesting to find out, okay, what all, yeah, I think I know what that means, but what all did you know, God put into that word that he wants us to know? And so anyway, I looked up the word prayer, simple word, and it said, in worship, a solemn address to the supreme being consisting of adoration, or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, in other words, praise, confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits, his blessings. So that was in the definition. And then in our text this evening, Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if we were to look up all the verses that have to deal with prayer in the Word of God, we'd be here for many, 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 many hours. But we're not going to do that. I've got quite a few verses listed here, but we'll get to whatever we can get to. We may not have time to get to them all, but we'll see how the Lord leads on this. So Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. That word careful, what's that mean? Well, careful, full of care. That's easy. Oh, right. Got an easy one there. Full of care, anxious, troubled, anxiety, worry. Oh, some of those words are familiar, aren't they? You know, as Christians, we really shouldn't worry. We shouldn't be anxious. God tells us not to be anxious, not to worry, because God's got it planned out. He knows the beginning from the end, and he's got, you know, even though we don't know, we can't see what's going to happen by the end of the day. And, you know, the kids may be out driving somewhere on a trip somewhere, or this or that. Oh, you know, oh, Lord, keep them safe. Oh, you know, we're worried about what might happen on the road. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. So why worry? And the Lord tells us, you know, not to worry, because he's got it under control. He's relax, calm down, take a deep breath. I've got it all taken care of. And if we realize this, it's going to take such a burden off our shoulders. And so the Lord says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. I've got it taken care of. But in everything, by prayer, and we already defined prayer, and supplication, now that's kind of a big word, supplication, meaning on that one was humble and earnest prayer in worship, to entreat, beseech, implore, petition with earnestness and submission. We see those words in God's word a lot. Entreat, beseech, implore, petition, submission. We those words, and they're going to continue to come up throughout as we get into different verses and things, they're going to continue to come up throughout the evening. So listen for those words that are repetitive, because they're important. So supplication, humble and earnest prayer and worship. Okay, so we looked up the word humble. Meek, submissive, having a low opinion of oneself and a deep sense of unworthiness in the sight of God. We're familiar with humble, humility. Sometimes we don't always have as much humility in our lives as we should. But being submissive to the Lord. Earnest, ardent in the pursuit of an object or request, eager to obtain, having a longing desire, zealous, importunate, And that word urgent, pressing, with urgent solicitation, incessantly, continually. And we read a few things in God's word where he tells us about the neighbor that is knocking at the door around midnight. And we'll get into that one in a little bit. Also, the woman who went before the judge and kept bringing her request over and over and over. She was what? Incessant. She was continually bringing that request. And what did he say? I'm not going to give you your request because of, you know, that you're asking for it, but you just weary me, woman. And he gave her what she wanted. But and the Lord tells us, he says, how much do you want what you're asking for? You know, sometimes we come before the Lord and we Lord, da 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 da, and we give our petition to the Lord, and he doesn't hear much about that afterwards at all. We brought it to him. That was it. Oh, but Brother Glenn, you know, the Lord knows. I prayed and gave it to the Lord. You know, do you really want it? How much do you really want it? He tells us to be like that neighbor that was knocking at the door and wouldn't give up until his friend answered that door. God knows how much we want something by how much we go to him asking for it. So supplication, humble and earnest, prayer and worship. We're going to look at a few more verses and just see what they have to say about prayer as well. Let's look at Matthew 17. Let's turn to Matthew. There's going to be a number of verses in Matthew this evening. Chapter 17. And verse number 2. No, it isn't. That's what I've got written here. Hold on just a second. That's what happens when you don't go over it. You print it two minutes before you're supposed to come up here. Matthew 17:21. So this is a portion of scripture where the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why could we not cast him out, casting out a devil?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." God says, you want to see some power in your prayer? You want to see me work? How much are you wanting to see me work and answer your prayer? If we deny ourselves and not only spend time in prayer, but spend time fasting, we're gonna see the hand of God work in a mighty way. I know, believe me, that word fasting is, ooh, you know, this fat boy from Chicago. No, but hey, I like food just like we all like food. But you know, if we, you know, set aside those desires and say, "Lord, I want to see you work in this situation. I want to see you answer in a mighty way. How be it that this kind cannot go out but by prayer and fasting, Jesus says. Let's look at Matthew 21 a couple chapters over. Matthew 21, 22, and hopefully I wrote down the right verse this time. Jesus is saying again to his disciples, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, what's the criteria here? You're asking, but do you really believe God can give you what you're asking for? Or is it just something, well, I prayed about it? Do you really believe that God will answer your prayer? This is where our faith gets tested. You know, how much do you believe in what you're asking God to do? "And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, again, there's different criteria set up, and the more verses you look at this, there were times when Jesus told them, "Ye have not because ye ask amiss, to consume it upon your lust." We're asking things for the wrong reason. We are asking things, selfishly sometimes. Everything that we take before the Lord, yes, we present our requests, but how do we finish it off? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Lord, you know, the beginning from the end. And yes, this is my desire, but you know if that's what's best or not. And so, yeah, this is what I'm looking for. This is what my desire is, but I want your will to be done above my will. I want your will to be done, whatever that might be. And the Lord is going to bless. The Lord will say, "Isaiah, I love to give you, your heart's desire, but that's not the best for you. What you're asking me to do is not the best. And I love you too much to see something bad happen. And so I'm not going to grant your request." Now, we don't actually hear the Lord say that, but God, if we're living for him, God's looking out for us. He's gonna take care of us. He knows our hearts. He knows our desires. Well, then, Brother Glenn, why do we have to take it to him if he knows it already? How serious are you about it? Let's turn to John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. 15, verse number 7. Talking about abiding. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Again, Jesus is saying, I'll give you what you want. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, we're not only going to have a relationship with the Lord, but God's word is going to be guiding us and directing us, because we're in the Word. And if that's the case, we know God's heart because we've got His Word to guide us and show us. So we're not going to necessarily be asking amiss, because we know the heart of God because we're in His Word. And we've got His Word to guide and direct us. In the book of Acts, in chapter 16 of Acts, we see Paul and Silas in prison. and they're in the stocks. Things weren't going very well for Paul and Silas at this point. I mean, that's not a pleasant place to be. And it says around midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. But they didn't just pray. They sang praises. Now, they were praying to God and singing praises to his name with their feet and hands, you know, maybe their head. I don't know how exactly the stocks were made. There's different types of stocks. But they were chained in those stocks. Cold, damp, dark prison. Probably, you know, super hungry because they probably didn't feed them anything. Sore from the beatings. And they were praising God, singing praises to his name. And then, of course, we read that God sent an earthquake. The prison doors were shaken and unlocked. And then we read about the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Praise and songs of praise should accompany our time of prayer. The Lord tells us that that should go hand in hand. Because not only are we requesting things of our Lord, but we're praising him and thanking him for answered prayer, for his blessings, for his watch care over us. That should fill our hearts with song. Just as it did Paul and Silas in the prison. Back into Matthew. I hate to have you keep going back and forth, but it's only within a few chapters. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:7. We read, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, actually, I've got, two versions of this verse. The other one is in Luke in 11:11, and it's the same portion of Scripture, only Luke is recording it at this point. And what does it say? If you can continue and read this portion of Scripture, I won't turn to the one in Luke since we're already in Matthew. But it says, "What man is there of you?" In Luke it says, "What father would have a son that would come to him and ask him for bread, and you're going to give him a stone? Or if he asks you for a fish, you're going to give him a serpent? Or for an egg, you're going to give him a scorpion? No father would do that." He says, if you won't do that to your son, how much more does your heavenly father want to give you good things? And, you know, we delight in giving our children and grandchildren what they desire. How much more does our heavenly father desire to give us good things? Think about that, you know? I mean, it thrills my heart to you know, give Anya something she wants. Now, there's within limits. There's a lot of contingencies there. You don't want have a little bratty kid asking for something. Oh, sure, honey, whatever you want. No. But but when they come to you, with a I'm going to say a pure heart, a loving heart and ask you for something, it just delights to give them that because you know they want it. And God, our Heavenly Father, loves us so much and it delights him to give us what we're asking for, what we're seeking for. And once again, he knows our heart and he knows if we're asking, out of a pure heart. In 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, you know that verse, who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Humble themselves. Humble themselves and pray, seeking the face of God. That means we're spending time in the Word. If we're seeking God's face, we're spending time now in prayer and in His Word. And of course, turning from our wicked ways. Repenting. The Lord talks about a repentant heart. You know, if we harbor sin in our heart, God will not hear us. There's warnings to prayer as well as blessings of prayer. But he says, you know, if you're willing to do that, then I will hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your land. I'll give you what you want. I'll give you what you're asking for. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with what? All your heart." How are we coming to the Lord? Are we wholeheartedly seeking Him and coming to Him, asking Him for what we desire? Or just, are we half-hearted Christians? Oh, yeah, I pray. Yeah, I should pray more, but, just don't have the time. You know, just this, that, everything's pulling at me, you know, for time constraints. And you know, what kind of Christian are you? Are you a wholehearted Christian? Are you serving the Lord with your whole heart? Or are we just kind of... God wants us. He says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." In James 5:16, let's turn there. James 5:16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." And then this last part of this verse, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man," what? "Availeth much." The effectual, that means that prayer, there's going to be results. The effectual, fervent, heated prayer. Do you really want what you're asking for? Are you coming to God, coming to the throne of grace and begging God to answer your prayer? That word fervent, heated. I mean, are you really pouring out your heart to the Lord? It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. That means one, again, sin has been confessed. Sin is not keeping us from God because it's been taken care of. That availeth much. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're going to see God work in a mighty way. Two more verses. 1 John 3:22. Both of them are in 1 John. Yay! 1 John 3:22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." What's God talking about here? We sang the song in Sunday school this morning. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. He's talking about being obedient. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we" what? "We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." We're in his word and we know what he's asking us to do. We know how we should obey the Lord. And 1 John 5, we'll close with this. 1 John 5:14 and 15. 1 John 5:14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What a promise! What a promise! This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will. Not my will, but thy will be done. He heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Who else can say that but God's children? Nobody. These people that are worshiping false gods, these false religions out there, they can't say that. They can't claim that promise. The only ones that can claim that promise is you and I, as children of God. So I hope that some of these verses that we looked at today from God's Word really will get us to desiring to see God really work in our lives, in our families, in our churches. And that, you know, I hope you'll join us on those special prayer meetings. I know back at the church I came from in Chicago, it's been a number of years ago, but we used to have what they called cottage prayer meetings, and they would have them at different homes. I know, like, the new year, we'd kick off the new year with a week of cottage prayer meetings, and every day, every evening was at a different person's home, and we would just kick off the year that way. But I've always really liked going to those cottage prayer meetings, and I hope you'll join us, especially as we're concentrating on asking God to build a hedge, as I said, around us, around our family, around our church, around our pastor and his family. The devil wants to attack our pastor in a way that we can't even imagine. Because if he could get to the pastor, whoosh, there goes. We need to pray for hedges. And so I hope you'll join us, and just let's really work together to see God work in a mighty way in our lives, in our families, and in our church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we could spend time in your word. We thank you that we could go through these verses on prayer. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all to just purpose in our hearts to be all that you want us to be. Lord, to see you move in a mighty way. Lord, in our lives, Lord, draw us closer to you, in our families' lives, in our church, that we may see the church grow, that we may see souls saved, that we, Lord, we'll just see you at work in an unbelievable way. Lord, in our pastor, protecting him and his family, and Lord, that you would just work help us to just stand in awe as we see your hand working in our lives and in the lives of each and every one that attends here. Lord, I pray that you'd bless. In your name we pray. Amen.